0818-0906.
In Ballymun and Beijing.
Radio WXTC.net.
In Coolock and Cairo.
Radio WXTC.net.
In Artane and Amsterdam.
Radio WXTC.net.
This is radio.wxtc.net. I'm Brian Green, show 17. And yes, we've had a little fade over the summer, but things are back on track with this particular show. We've been busy producing for others, and sometimes you forget about oneself. On today's programme, we have an interview about Digital Radio Mondial with Endo Kane from Irish Overseas Broadcasting. That's coming up in a moment. We hope to drop in with Brother Donal and see if he can tell us a bit about his own DRM experiments with receiving the All-Ireland football finals on DRM from RTE. And we've got music. Have we got music? We've got music for you today. And we'll be dropping in on some artists. First of all, though, we're going to drop in on, I was going to say an old friend, but that would just be just way too cheap, way too cheap. We're going to drop in on Noam Chomsky. Where is he?
This is Noam Chomsky. Strong evidence suggests that the Bush administration launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
And you can go visit that if that's what interests you. WXTC.net with Brian Green. Hello, it's been a while, and we've been doing lots of things in the MySpace world, and we've been buying up some music, and we've also been asking artists, is it safe to play your track on a podcast? Agawan, please let us, it'll be fun. And some people have said yes, surprisingly, and thank you very much to many of them. But it's only music that we support, so no Britney Spears on this particular cast. I hope to God, never. We went to downloadmusic.ie, and they are doing some wonderful things, selling unheard of and hard to find, hard to purchase Irish music. There we found somebody who we had already befriended through the powers that is MySpace, and we bought this particular track from Corina Penston, and it's called Help Me Out. Give it a listen and see if you like it. If you like it, go buy it at downloadmusic.ie.
Closed to strangers that I did.
Corina Penston and Help Me Out on WXTC. More details from her MySpace page at myspace.com/Corina Penston, or if you can't find that, find MySpace.com page at myspace.com/MMBHG, and it's linked there as one of the friends. If you like it, buy it. That's the way it works. Support music, support musicians. Actually, if you check out Corina's MySpace page, she's played Balcony TV, where you can see her perform live on Dame Street here in Dublin, in Ireland. We're going to do DRM now and speak to Enda O'Kane. First of all, let's have a listen to some DRM.
Digital Radio Mondial. Hey, that was dramatic, wasn't it? Vanessa May with Toccata, starting us off today, right here on Radio Luxembourg, DRM test transmission. Good day to you. My name's Dave Christian from the old Radio Luxembourg 208 days, and it's my pleasure to introduce you to something new, Digital Radio Mondial. As we go along, we'll be explaining what it's all about and playing you some great music at the same time.
To discuss DRM, on the line I have Enda O'Kane from Irish Overseas Broadcasting. Hello, Enda.
Hello, how are you, Brian?
Not too bad. Tell us about Irish Overseas Broadcasting first.
Well, I suppose we have to go back to the mid-90s, 95, when a group of us who were in RTE at the time and some outside, we got together and hired transmitters from the BBC and got support of the GAA, and we filled a vacuum at that stage, I think, by broadcasting the football finals, both finals, across the world from the BBC transmitters. And that was why we had to have a name and a company to pay our bills, you know.
You had a taste then for getting Irish radio overseas.
Indeed, indeed. And as a young man in London, as a lonely emigrant, I used an old telephone line to pick up a crackly old radio wearing in those days. So I was always on the edge of what was possible.
And since then, we've seen 252 Longwave come back to Erin. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, well, that's really exciting now that we can benefit from the reach of Longwave. In fact, some of the older generation, well, I don't know if they're listening this morning, but some of them would have listened to BBC Droitwich on Longwave, and they'd know really well that it would cover most of Ireland to varying degrees. And so when we got our Longwave channel, which was intended for emigrants and fishermen, it was a deal was done with Radio Luxembourg. I suppose the money wasn't around then. And the end result was that the emigrants were robbed of their service, and the kids in England got pop music, as a pirate, Irish pirate, giving them pop music.
Which ultimately didn't work and came back to Ireland. So today we're discussing DRM, Digital Radio Mondial, which is digital radio worldwide. I think it's a French term. What is DRM?
Well, it's a new way of broadcasting. It uses digital technology, which means, just like a mobile phone, that you get perfect reception when you're within the range of the transmitter. And there's no overlapping of unwanted stations, as you would normally get at night time on the medium wave, mostly, and to some extent on long wave.
So there's no fade and there's no whistle and there's no noise.
That's right, that's right. And it's very exciting because you can vary the actual strength of the bits, if I may use a kind of a layman's term. You can vary the characteristics, would be a better word, and you can reduce the fidelity and have a longer reach, you know. You can have a receiver out there in the service area, and that receiver uses a landline or perhaps the internet, and talks back to the transmitter and says, look, you want to harden, you want to reduce the fidelity and give me more locking in to lock the receivers in the reception area. There's a whole lot of extra little refinements. They can also send out four different voice channels at the same time, you know.
And you can do pictures on DRM.
Yeah, it could do pictures. It can do images about 20 to 30 seconds per slide, you know.
So if we were to, let's say, have a medium wave or long wave station here in Ireland that could reach to Manchester on medium wave or to North London on long wave, how far would the same power take you with DRM?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. It's something that I've put around to different people because I felt that with DRM we'd reach out into Europe far further than we can with the existing AM long wave signal. But one must remember that interference to adjacent channels, interference to transmitters on the next channel could be a problem if we were to use the same power as the older long or medium wave transmitters.
So we'd have to take the power down.
The power down. So it's an accepted standard. There's no ifs or buts about it. It's 7 dB down for the technical people. And if you say 3 dB is half power, and add another 3 dB, that's 6 dB, that's quarter power. So when you're 7 dB, you're more than one quarter of the power than you would be using on the traditional way of broadcasting. So it results then, when you do all the sums, you come out with 50 to 60% saving, certainly 50% saving in electricity, which for a high-powered long-wave station is significant, bearing in mind that these transmitters, like a 500 kilowatt-hour, at Summer Hill or Droitwich, for that matter, they would use about €1 million a year in electricity. So that's saving €500,000, you know.
And that's some saving, especially with the ESB costs going up all the time. So DRM, it's not from the sky like satellite, and it's not from the internet. It's from your traditional transmitters that are upgraded and modified slightly to transmit this new digital sound. So if we listened in on a standard medium wave radio, we'd hear a kind of a rushing water sound on where our channel used to be. So no Ronan Collins, we would hear psh, 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 and you would need to get a new apparatus, a new radio set to listen to this DRM.
That's quite true, Brian. There have been a number of different devices over the years, pending mass production of receivers. These devices would be, they would consist of a little box which you would plug in to the port of a computer, the USB port, and you would send in a signal from this little box into the computer, and the computer would do all the processing and show you information about the transmitter you're picking up and its signal strength and where it's from and a whole histogram of the quality of the signal on the computer.
Now, people like you and I would do that, and amateur radio enthusiasts would do that, but your average person wants to walk into Dixon's, Harry Moore, Pete's and pick up something and plug it in and see it work. We are in the era of we're just before that era of being able to walk into that shop and buy that radio. Now, before we talk about what we can hear with that radio, how far away are we from being able to have that radio in our high street shop?
Well, that's an interesting question. Last autumn at the Amsterdam IBC International Media display, I suppose, or
exposium.
Exposium is another term for it. These receivers were available, and expectations were that they would be in the shops by the following Christmas. But the consortium, the DRM consortium, didn't want to rush it. They wanted to perfect these receivers and iron out any little bugs, and they've been doing that over the past year. They've had different runs, something up to several hundred going out to the consortium members and then feeding back their comments in an organized way. And so now I am very confident that they'll be in quantities up to Christmas. They'll be reaching the shops. In fact, as I talk, I hold a piece of paper here, which is a printout from a web page, which is the tea online in Germany, and you can buy them now over the web, but not in Ireland. It's only in Deutschland.
I've seen that, and I've blogged about this Morphy Richards radio, which its specification is like your dream radio. Pun on the word dream there, D-R-M, dream. It's got AM, FM, long wave, short wave, all the frequencies. It has a USB slot to go to your computer. It doesn't need to go to your computer because it will decode DRM, shortwave, medium wave, long wave stations all on its own, and you can then record to a memory card on the radio, and it looks wonderful. You're going to get yourself one of these radios from Germany soon, I hope.
I am indeed. I'll have to network now through some of my contacts in Germany and buy it in directly, because I want to have backup facilities for our stand coming up next month. You know, I don't want to have a wet face in that our arrangement might have a hiccup or something. I mightn't have a radio at all, but I want to buy one myself. And as I said to you, if I did say they're just over, they're 199 euros.
Just before we go on to what you can receive, let's have this hypothetical station coming from Dublin on, and it's transmitting DRM, and you're in Dundalk, and reception's a little bit fuzzy. You could have another transmitter in Kells, and it's transmitting DRM also, same channel. It's like RDS radio for FM. The DRM could switch to a long wave from Kells because the Dublin medium wave is too weak. Would that be correct of DRM?
That would be correct, and it would be more relevant for shortwave because a long wave station is usually stable in signal availability, that the propagation of long wave is much more stable than shortwave. But as you do mention that, a typical example today would be in the heart of Europe, where Deutsche Welle are broadcasting from the south of Portugal, from a site Sines, and south also of Munich, where Tactel is another site there. Those two transmitters are distributing their dumping program into the heart of the European mainland on exactly the same channel, exactly the same frequency, and they must be synchronized to arrive at the receiver at the same time, because the receiver just opens a window to let in signals and then shuts the window to stop interference, you know. So they must be accurately synchronized. And I've heard as well, too, that the Deutsche Welle are looking for a site in Britain to beam an extra signal down. So I presume it's the same service on the same frequency. That would be three transmitters. So if you have dodgy path for a moment in one direction, you have two others to back it up. And also if you're going under a bridge or going onto an underpass, you would get perfect reception. In fact, for those people who have the internet and are interested, they could go onto the DRM website and they could get these samples on the home page, you know.
That's drm.org.
Drm.org. There's samples there on mobile reception in Europe, which is very exciting. There's a camera in the front of a car, and you can see the streets and the type of area that the vehicle is moving in, and it's very impressive. They're almost going underground in places, you know.
So if you've ever listened to medium wave radio at, you know, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening, the radio dial changes. What was silence or noise becomes half of Spain comes across your radio dial. With DRM, that isn't going to become a problem for noise, that you can just switch to another transmission and everything will be clear again.
That'll be so. It will lock out any interference on the same channel. You'll get your signal or you won't get it, you know. And also for DXers, people, enthusiasts who want to listen to stations over a long distance, they will be able to identify the actual station they're picking up, because the DRM signal, as well as broadcasting music and speech, it also sends out its own identification, just as the FM transmitters can on RDS. So you can identify by a little tag, the label. Each station has its own label, you know.
Very good. Then
the receivers are intelligent. The receivers can jump to the best channel. So you just tune in your receiver, put a number in or a name of a station, and the receiver does the rest. It finds another a channel for the same program without you having to bother. So they're very simple to use.
Who is DRM aimed at in terms of, you know, which group of people will buy these sets? There's been 40 million iPods sold in the last couple of years, and the kids are listening to their music through broadband download, and away they go, carry the machines onto the buses and the trains and the bicycles that they travel on. DRM is for who? Who would
Leave their bicycles and their iPods behind and to go abroad in this day of cheap world travel, they want to keep in touch with their home stations, and in many instances, the brand loyalty, if a station can be heard all over Europe and you like a particular style and presenter, I'm sure you'd stay tuned to that. If you left Ireland with a certain presenter, you'd hope to continue on if there's no technical reason now today why you couldn't have your own local radio down in the south of Spain relayed over digital shortwave, you know?
So to lie on the beach in Italy, on the Adriatic, you could listen to Ronan Collins.
You could listen to Ronan Collins or Shannon Side Radio or Radio Sligo, Radio Dundalk, any other radio. If the will was there to put all these little stations together maybe in one group and share them out a half an hour a day or a half an hour a week and a mixture of RTE, there's...
Like WRN?
Yeah, that could be exactly as you put it, very, very accurately.
So with one shortwave transmitter, perhaps in the UK, it wouldn't even have to be in Ireland, you could reach the whole of Europe, or you could reach it from here in Ireland itself?
Well, ideally, the best, Ireland, if you look at the map, you'll see we're on the nose of Europe, you know, and if you go to Donegal or to the most westerly point, and you hit the signal, you beam the signal upwards, it comes down at a certain point. So the further north you are, the quicker the signal comes down. So I remember some years ago, it's a decade now, when there was an experimental station up in Donegal, and they used Donegal because they wanted reception in London, you know, in the north of France. So the more westerly and the more the better your coverage. You'll cover northern France, whereas if you come into the south of Ireland, you'd have a few hundred miles less, if you understand me, you know.
And is that for a ground wave, or would it be the first kind of sky wave?
The first hop down, just like skidding or banging a ball of a roof, you know, of a ceiling, you know, if you're playing a game, you know.
The first landing of the signal would be around there.
Yeah, and it hits the ground and hops up again and hops its way around the world, you know.
On behalf of the people who wouldn't know, let me ask, in between, let's say, Donegal and Brittany, France, will anybody receive anything, or will it just be at the two points?
Nobody would receive anything in that gap between Donegal and the north of France or London, you know? But that's one use of shortwave. There are other uses of shortwave for DRM, which many people wouldn't know about, and that's local shortwave. You can use certain channels on the shortwave band that are lying idle now today, that aren't being used at all, and they only open up once every decade or more, and those channels can be used for DRM to give local service, and that will supplement the FM band, give you extra channels. As in the case of London at the moment, they would get 50 extra channels by using a little part of the shortwave band, which is now lying idle, you know.
That would be 11 megahertz for...
That's right, 11 meter, 26...
11 meter, should I say,
26
sorry.
26 meg, some of the DXers, enthusiasts, some of the CB fraternity would know the 27 meg CB band only opens up once every 11 years.
With the sunspots.
The sunspot, you know.
Yeah.
So that part of the band is lying dormant, you know.
And that part of the band, locally, it is technically shortwave. It could be used with a DRM receiver. You wouldn't have to get a special DRM receiver to do shortwave. That would be covered.
Exactly, Brian. That DRM receiver will cover it down to that frequency, that 11 meter, 26 meg band, all the way off to 150 kilohertz long wave.
So let me put it this way. If Comreg allowed it, the local churches around Ireland could broadcast on DRM 26 meg, 11 metres, and every church and synagogue and mosque in Ireland could transmit services without interference to anybody else to a radio receiver that will be in the shops within 3 to 6 months.
That's exactly so. And because it's on a relatively low frequency, 26 megs, as compared to 88 upwards for FM, there's less greening, there's less blocking by buildings. So the existing transmit aerials in the church belfries around the country that are used today for CB, they could be used likewise for the digital DRM on the shortwave band. You know?
So a quarter wave whip antenna could do transmission for the church on the side of the steeple or whatever.
Exactly, exactly. And the quality would be much, much superior to what's available today on a CB radio, and there'll be less chances of other users coming in on top of them with some nice language in some cases, you know.
And it will be digital, and you could transmit pictures from the altar and from around webcams and things.
You could indeed, yes. You could show slides as well. You could have a camera facing the altar, and you could update that image every half minute or so.
So the possibilities, that's just one example of what you could do with DRM, but if you've got the entire band to make digital, you can go from micro-broadcasting to international broadcasting, and DRM covers both ends of the market.
Yes, it covers all that league from long wave down to 26 megs on the shortwave band, and used parts of the bands that are lying idle that will hurt no one, you know?
So, difficult question. Ireland Official, or Official Ireland, what is Official Ireland saying or doing with regard to the immediate impact DRM will have?
Well, there doesn't seem to be any government policy that I'm aware of, and I keep my ear to the ground. The most exciting development, I suppose, has been in the last couple of weeks in that RTE have had their relay of the All-Ireland Finals, football and hurling, carried in digital from BBC suppliers, VT Merlin is the company now, by the way, who own the BBC shortwave transmitters. And they have given facilities to RTE to broadcast the All-Ireland for the first time ever in digital shortwave across Europe. And that has occurred within the last couple of weeks. So I don't know what commitment RTE have to digital DRM as such, you know.
But it's good to test. And so we can say digital shortwave, it is DRM, RTE, fortnight ago for hurling, yesterday for the football, across Europe, did some tests and experiments, which will obviously lead one to think that they are thinking down the road of digital international broadcasting.
I would certainly hope so, because even from their energy bill, they have a big transmitter to run out there in County Meath on long wave, and if that were to go digital, I can say, by the way, information has come my way from people in Europe that the actual transmitter in County Meath will be changed to digital DRM by the end of the year. That doesn't mean to say that RT are going to broadcast DRM.
It'll be capable.
It'll be capable. It'll have all the bits and pieces and that trove of switch. It could be on digital into Europe in the new year, you know. But there are always problems with... The biggest problem is digital receivers. It's a chicken and the egg. RT must lead first with a transmission in digital, bearing in mind that they don't cut service from people who depend on the traditional ways of broadcasting.
So if they could run something in parallel, if they had an available site and an available frequency, I know that 2FM is no longer on medium wave, if they had some sort of test area, they could coexist RTE programming in DRM for maybe a couple of years until enough radio sets were out there, and then they could make the big switch.
Exactly, yes.
I'm trying to suggest things for them. That sounds awful.
Yes.
But I'm trying to dream up a kind of a situation, because we are before launch for DRM, and there's no written rules as to how launch will happen for any country. But Ireland could be interested in it. So you've examined this, so I'll put the question to you. What is an ideal scenario for Ireland to reach its diaspora in Northern Europe via DRM and long wave and medium wave and short wave?
Well, ideally, if they were to bite the bullet and go up onto digital shortwave, it would mean an investment of 3 to 4 million, and they could serve right across Europe through the Straits of Gibraltar, across into North Africa, up through Croatia, up to Denmark, in that big footprint, which would cover the whole heart of Europe where people go on holidays. And I'm sure, and all the many transport firms, are something like 10,000 lorries constantly on the road. There's 170,000 Irish people on the move between here and Europe, and half our population spend 10 days or more in out of Ireland, many of them in Europe, mostly in Europe. And that means these people, in their during their absence of 10 days, they've paid €1 million in license fee, which they can't enjoy. And I'm sure if they had a choice, if it became a political issue and they were asked for their opinion, I'm sure they would say, yes, I would like to listen to Irish radio services in Europe. In fact, they've already paid something like €5 million at their points of exit. So they're well in credit. You know.
I'll give you a small story, but I can't guess the year right, but say it was 1991, and I was on a coach heading to Blackpool, and it broke down en route to Blackpool, and there was a coach full of Irish people, and I had a radio, and I tuned to 567, and we heard commentary of Ireland versus Turkey, and I think we won the match 3-2 or 3-0 or something. But everybody down to the back of the bus heard the football match, and the Irish abroad will orientate to an Irish radio dial and listen to Irish radio.
Well, indeed, and sometimes there have been exciting soccer matches. I've been in France and watching the French commentary and not understanding what was happening, but I could see the images, the pictures, and I was jealous of people from Holland who pulled out their little transistor and pulled up the aerial, and there they're listening to their own language and they're watching the French
pictures.
Pictures, yeah. So we could be doing the same thing when we go abroad. We could be watching the French pictures and listening to our own commentary.
If our listeners have an opinion about this, they can voice that opinion with our government to a special listening forum that the Broadcasting Committee have set up, eConsultation.ie. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, well, they have only opened this consultation only within the last couple of weeks, and it closes 12 noon on the 4th of next month. It's quite short, really, in time. I don't know why it's been so rushed, but it's a window of opportunity for people who have opinions to voice these on the internet and also by snail mail.
So if you're Irish and abroad, you could log on to eConsultation.ie and express your opinion with regard to international broadcasting from Ireland, be it independent or RTE, or let's say, one of our examples, if you are a church and you'd like to broadcast your services freely to your local community who might be housebound, they would be some of the people who could get in touch with eConsultation.
It could, of course, yes, that opportunity is there, and it would be a legal and regulated method of broadcasting, and there's no international coordination problems in using that 11 metre 26 meg band. That band is there for Ireland to use now if they want to. Doesn't interfere with people internationally. It's only within the range of a city. In fact, the first people to use that were in Zagreb, a company called RIZ. They make transmitters, and they put a mast on a mountain over the city of Zagreb, and they covered the whole city for a couple of hundred watts, just what an amateur radio broadcaster would use. And that now is being used currently in London, in two sites in the centre of London, and receptionists, World Radio Network, use it as well in their tests in London. And reception is reported out as far as the M25.
So it's all possible.
And just another quickie, another aerial manufacturer has now designed a special aerial for these little transmitters that keep the sky wave down. So it'll beam the energy down towards the ground and not go and interfere with somebody in America, you know.
Wonderful. You mentioned earlier in October there is a show, the Over 50s show in the RDS here in Dublin, and you've a stand and you will be demonstrating for the first time in Ireland a DRM radio. Tell us more.
Yes, that's quite so. This will be the first time that people in Ireland will have had an opportunity to listen to DRM from stations across Europe. We would hope to pick up Radio Luxembourg on shortwave, and also Radio Sweden and the Deutsche Welle. Those would be some of the main stations broadcasting. In fact, the DRM consortium would broadcast something like 750 hours per day across Europe, and there are 100 members now in the consortium from 30 different countries, and I hear talk even of the Arab Union of Broadcasters taking an interest, so it's really taking off, and it's an international standard. ETSI is a kind of a European Technical Standard Institute, and the International Telecommunication Union and the IEC, these are international regulatory bodies, and this DRM standard has been adapted and accepted, and it's now available for broadcasters to use immediately.
That is interesting. DRM, maybe just to finish with this, is, and just mention that that show is on the RDS on the 14th and 15th of October. DRM is not owned by Microsoft or BSkyB, Rupert Murdoch, News International. It is owned by the people of the world. Anybody is open to use its code for reception or for transmission, and therefore it is free in monetary terms and in being able to be used and moved and copyright and all that.
That's quite so. It's an open, non-proprietary system that any broadcaster can use without having to use patents and all the other problems that exist with other systems, you know.
And that should assist it in its growth and its rapid growth and all that.
That's right, and have the backing and experience of the International Consortium. There's a broadcaster's handbook, which I hope to have on the stand as well. They're available in Amsterdam, and there's a full backing and guidance, because it's in the vested interest of the transmitter manufacturers to give you support, because they are benefiting from it in producing new designs of transmitters, and also for global warming. If it's reducing the power bill by 50%, that's very dramatic on something that's using something like 500 kilowatts, you know.
Absolutely. Enda, we're going to leave it there. From Irish Overseas Broadcasting, Enda O'Kane, thanks for joining us on the phone to discuss DRM today.
And thank you for the opportunity, Brian.
From Enda O'Kane to Brother Donal, we did say we'd drop in on Donal. He was experimenting on our behalf here on the podcast to see if he could bring in RTE on the 17th of September, the All-Ireland final in DRM, a fortnight after the first test for the hurling final. Donal, how did you get on?
Well, unfortunately, no luck on the RTE hurling or football. No, there was no signal. There wasn't enough signal to bring it in. They're obviously targeting the Africa and Asia and Americas, so they didn't really have a DRM pointing at Europe.
You were on the back of the beam, I believe.
Yeah. But I don't know if the transmission actually comes...
UK.
I was from UK.
UK, yeah.
Oh, I wasn't getting it at all. You could hear something there. There was a faint signal there, but not enough to pull it in. You really need... It's like... Unlike analog, you need a very strong digital signal. It's all or nothing. Do you know what I mean?
So you've got red, green, and in the middle somewhere amber. You wouldn't even get an amber signal from this.
No.
It was all red.
It was all red, yeah. My system was a home-built system, which is tapping the IF out of the back of a Sony radio, bringing it into a down converter, and then out of the down converter, bringing it into a sound card, and then processing it on the chip.
Have you done anything regarding blogging that little project that you talked about there?
I have. I'll post it up on your blog. I did it on one of the message boards on boards.ie, so I'll get a link to that and show people, pictures and a little talk through how it's done.
That'll be on briangreen.com soon. And just an overall cost, and how much that cost you?
About 50 euros.
50 euro for a DRM radio.
Yeah, and it's portable. You could tap the IF out of all your shortwave radios then and use this across the board.
It's
if you're a person that has a lot of you know, legacy equipment and doesn't want to have to, you know, have get rid of them just because DRM's around. You can just tap the IF quite simply without affecting the usage of the radio normally.
But it does need a computer.
It does need a computer, and LCD screens do help reduce the noise from computer, but keeping the receiver away and well-shielded cables, all that sort of stuff helps to keep the noise down, especially when you're trying to pull in really weak signals.
Obviously, people, the mass populace out there, are not going to get down converters, tap the IF of a DXing radio and lug a computer around with them. They want it all in one. And you've looked at this Morphy Richards radio at T Online. What's your initial thoughts on it?
Oh, I'd love to get my hands on something like that. It's the future for DRM. I think, yes, that's the future, but it has snags. It doesn't have an antenna on the back, and with the moment with the very low power tests that are going on, you really do need a long wire to pull in the signal. Having said that, I was picking up BBC World Service with no antenna.
In DRM?
In DRM, full signal. I could put the receiver right on the monitor with the noise from the monitor. It was still coming through. So it does have, there is hope for it. But the big broadcasters are going to have to put a few kilowatts into this. They can't just be going out with 5, 10 kilowatts. They need to put the big transmitters on. And hopefully we have the capability in Ireland for a service like that, you know, that can put out a good few watts and get across Europe.
It's not difficult to say that DRM radios will be the future of DRM, but will DRM be the future of shortwave radio as we knew it?
I don't think so. I think they can live, they can coexist. I don't think it's going to be the future. Because of the all-or-nothing situation, if you're going to be in unfavourable situation, with it, like receivers have to be good. Go back to the Cold War, the transmitters were probably 10 times the power to put in there nowadays. That reason for that was they wanted to get into, you know, crystal earpieces around the world. Receivers have got better. They're more digital. They've got more stability. But still, if you want to broadcast to the masses of the world, like in Africa, who've got very poor equipment, in Asia, you really are going to have to put in the power behind the transmission.
Is it the difference, because they say broadcast at 7 dB down, but is it the difference between hoping on a sky wave and guaranteeing on a ground wave? Should services be looking for the initial ground wave distance and then some hopping on a short wave?
Yeah, it's like, it's to be trialled. Like, it's very intermittent. I was pulling some stuff in later last night from America, from Canada and stuff, and it was intermittent. It would come in and it would, like, the skip, it was just coming in and out every few minutes. You get a really good signal and then it's gone.
So it was like watching Sky on a mini dish in the rain?
There, no. Yeah.
There or not there?
Yeah, that's it.
Donal, thanks for trying that. Yeah. And of course, if you had succeeded, we could have heard Micheál Omorodá-Hertig doing some commentary from Croke Park on DRM. Unfortunately, it was not to be, but you did try. So,
Hopefully someone out there in the target areas did get something with some probably better equipment than I have.
And send it here, info@briangreen.com, or more radio-friendly email address, radio@wxtc.net. Donal, thank you very much.
Okay, see you then. Keep
bye
it
bye. Up. Bye. Can make
it's the loneliest song.
Rare occasions when somebody comes across me and not the other way around, me come across them. That's Ned Evett and Shine Like a Diamond on Me, which is kind of apt when we're talking about digital radio from Ireland to the world on the Ethernet, on the back of a skywave. Shine Like a Diamond on Me, Ned Evett. And I could have jumped onto MySpace and picked up a bit of detail while I was listening to that, except that awful thing that MySpace just plays that music without you having an opportunity to not hear it. So I am supposed to tell you that Ned is playing in Dublin in October or even November, and I haven't got the dates. So live as we speak, sitting here, I'm going to try and find Ned's details and see how findable they are, because I must have befriended him. So I have to log out as me and log in as me and see if I can find things. Well, this is all very well prepared, isn't it? Friends, you have zero friends. So let's see if I can find Ned. 6 pages. How am I going to find him? There he is. Right, we'll be on his page in a second. And you won't hear anything because I've turned the sound down. Now, he's playing gigs all over the place. And he's playing the Green Room, Dublin, on the 7th of October, the day after me birthday. There you go. That's a Sunday. It's a Sunday because I'm playing a gig on the 6th. On my own birthday, I have to play gigs. It's terrible. So, Ned Evett, NedEvett.com, if you want to get more or check out MySpace, and there's links, you'll find them. And a last thing about Ned, I think, but I've probably recorded this wrongly in my brain, I think he said he wrote that song, Shine Like a Diamond, when he was in Dublin, when he came out of a gig in 2003. Tell me if I'm wrong. Back to the show notes and see if we are anywhere near our time that we're supposed to be on. Show notes. And that's about it. I think we've covered everything on the show. So I'm going to say thank you for listening and do drop in again sometime soon. That's, of course, if we record a new show for you. Blah, blah. You've heard it on the other shows. Take care out there, and we're just hitting the stop button. It's 1 p.m. on Monday, the 18th of September in Dublin, Ireland. Bye.